All right, here we go. Welcome back to the Los Ponies podcast. We had fun recording the first one. Since then, we had, what was it, two baby races?
Definitely, yeah. We had those first two. Mike Robbins took the first two. Yeah.
What'd you think of those?
I liked my first pick, Conquering Marie. Uh-huh. I thought she leveled out pretty well. SC Coronada looked, you know, just as good as we saw from the work. She just flew out of there, and it was over from the start.
It's got to be good things to come, I think, for the barn of Mike Robbins. I think this might be the first full year he really has a barn here as far as babies go. We've seen him ship in a few runners over the last year and a half, I would say. He started making some noise for Reliance Ranches, and it's nice to see some babies here from that outfit on the grounds, and they're two for two. Now, we're currently are recording this on Friday before the Friday's races, but we're going to talk about Saturday's program because it's a very good program. I really like it, but I can tell we're looking at the track. Tractors are going on and getting the track ready to go. A strong tailwind, and it's been windy the last 2 days here, so we'll see if the wind stays throughout the night.
It's looking like a 15-mile-an-hour tailwind
Is good. You're the expert at this, so that's what you would call it right now?
Yeah, I would say it's about 15. Right. It usually dies down after about the fifth race, towards the end of the night. Once we can record it for the quarter horse races, because you obviously don't need it for the thoroughbreds, but it'll be always windy for those first couple thoroughbreds, and then once we really need it, then the wind completely dies down.
Yeah, and is there any truth to this story? We see it on times, but is there any truth to the story of the air getting a little bit heavier later in the night? Sometimes on trials, you see horses that look good, they look fast, but the time just doesn't match what it should be.
I think there's definitely a bias when you draw those earlier trials and the races in the daytime. I think with the sun being out, definitely can help that moisture evaporate a lot more quickly in the daytime. So going into those trials, you always want to draw the earlier ones. My dad, he always says that he wants to draw the first two trials or the last two trials.
Okay, so that's good. That's good. Good effort to know. But 2-year-old season is underway at Los Alamitos. Hopefully we get some good entries later down the road for the kindergarten to really kick off the futurity season. But it's a good card on Saturday. We got a good program. I'm really loving the late pick four. I think it's terrific. I'm really looking forward to diving to the entire card. Of course, we'll try to give you a few stronger opinions where we have them. But
yeah, we've had some pretty big pick fours lately with some short fields. And tomorrow night, I mean, it's as deep as it's been in the past year I've seen. Yeah. So I could see the late pick four getting into the 170s, 180s.
Yeah, I think so. It's been like we're only almost 4 months into the year, but so far we've had three of the highest all times early pick four pools, three of the top five in 2018 in 3 months. So that tells you how strong the pick four pools have been. So and in the late pick four, we've had the highest all time for the late pick four was set back in February 11th. Of 166, so two of the top five late pick four pools all time have been in the first few months of the year, and three of the top five in the early pick four all time. So first 3 months have been good for the pick fours, and I think the late pick four, both pick fours on Saturday night, are going to be strong. All right, let's take a look at the card here. We're going to go with race one, 4.5 thoroughbred condition of claimers. $2,500 is the claiming price. Field of seven. I thought it was a couple of question marks and a few horses. A few have been nibbling the board and getting some pieces. I ultimately gave the check mark to the five, Cali Mesa. First off the claim now for Louis Bravica. And finished third last time out, but with some trouble. I think getting Kelly McDay, the apprentice allowance, might be able to get this one early out of the gate. But that's who I gave the check mark to.
Yeah, I agree with you there. I thought the only two horses I was going to use here in the first race was the five and the three, both Bradvica horses. They pretty much finished on even terms there that last race, and they're the ones exchanging bumps all the way down the backside and into the turn. The three had to angle out and kind of got the worst of it and really rallied nicely, outfinished Cali Mesa here. But, you know, maybe if Bradvica can step this horse up a length or something, I mean, she could outfinish. She's moving on here in the first.
Yeah, that's why I think is going to be my top pick. The six will probably be my second choice, share my way, for Cesar Franco. beat him favor last time out, but didn't get the best of trips. Gets off the rail tonight. I thought that one with the switching post might be better than looked. And that effort that went 2 starts back to break the maiden, had to maneuver through some traffic, and just got the job done. I think there's still some improvement there. So 5 and 6 is who I will lean to in here in race one.
Yeah, I gave it a look to the 2-horse, Red, White, and Fast for Keith Craigmile. He's taking the blinkers off this one, and he had a nice maiden win, kind of in command throughout. It was pretty easy. He had everything go his way.
Yeah.
Last race, he was just broke slow, and this horse was hard to handle all the way down the backside. So maybe taking the blinkers off here can help him regain that speed. He's going to have to contend with She's Gone Western,
yeah,
who's coming out of those 870 races. So I think that one's definitely be on the front end. But if there's any way She's Gone Western doesn't make it, Red, White, and Fast could be the speed here.
Yeah, She's Gone Western there, dropping in class. First time up for a claiming tag, actually, in 5 career starts. So that's going to be the speed of the field, I think. But let's see if we can get away with I'm just going to try 5 and 6 here. In race number one, race number two, 4.5 Durbridge conditional claimers, $5,000 claiming price. So the upper levels here, and a compact field of 6. It's tough to see anyone other than the outside 3 runners win here, and the odds are going to reflect that, I think, on the board. I gave the slight check mark to the local horse who really improved second time locally here at Los Alamitos. That'll be the 4 Holy Plan. Looked terrific, powered away, and just looked very strong down the lane, posting a 50-1-2 for Chuck Trees. They're back. They put him back just slightly up above in level from 4,000 to 5,000. This could be the race where I either use all 3, 4, 5, and 6, or just take a stand and try to get out with a single and narrow then as far as a pick board goes, because I just can't see anyone other than those 3 winning this race.
Yeah, I gave the check mark to the 6 horse because I thought Holy Plan stalked the leader last time, but that horse was really green, was lugging out all the way on the backside and then lugged out on the turn. So he kind of inherited the lead, and it looked a little better than I think the race indicates. But, you know, he powered away there, like you said. The 6 horse is coming out of the Santa Anita races at farther. He's been tiring in those, but, you know, drops into the much easier spot here. And I think he's got more speed than Holy Plan, so that's why I'm counting on him to clear.
Yeah, you know, 4, 4, 6, 5 is my top 3 in order of preference. So I definitely think it's between who gets the lead. You know, the 4 might be a little more comfortable here under the lights, but the 6 has been facing tougher. So, yeah, I don't think I can make any long shot cases for anyone other than the 5 who finished second last time out as a favorite there. So I'll go with the 4. You go with 6.
Yeah.
And let's see if we can get out of that event with those runners. And race number 3, 4.5 conditional claimers. $3,200 is the claiming price. Field of 6. Your morning line favorite is going to be the 4 Fancy Terrace for John Cooper. Looked strong there last time out. 51-1. Showed speed to control. And went throughout there to beat a consistent runner in Cinco de Mayo, who's more of a kind of off the pace kind of horse that needs the pace to melt down. And Fancy Terrace did not come back to the field, went strong, and I think that one's gonna be tough right back. So Fancy Terrace for me here in race 3.
Yeah, I was counting on Fast Lane Larry maybe to put some pressure on Fancy Terrace, but the truth is I didn't really like any of these horses in this race. I mean, looking at them, none of them really look like they want to win. I went with the 1 horse, Where's Bubba, just because he's coming out of stronger races, takes the class drop.
There's past class there, yeah.
Yeah, I think he can get the stalking trip. Corn on the Code, the 5, is probably going to get first run, but that horse just doesn't seem like he needs the late kick, you know, that's required to win these races. I was trying to try an upset here, the 4 with the 1 and the 3, Gracias Tom, you know. Again, Gracias Tom's coming out of a, you know, a little higher $4,000 race. He's probably going to get the tracking trip as well. So I'm hoping maybe the 1 and 3 can pick up the pieces at the end.
Yeah, and I still remember that tough beat, Corn on the Code. What was it? 4 starts back, just missed by a neck there. But this, you know, it's going to be tough. I think it's just one of the tough races to figure out. I like 4, 5, 3 in that order. I just think if the 4 if the one Where's Bubba breaks good, that one has pass speed that could stay within good angle, and getting Sanchez back aboard, that can be the other threat there. But I'm going to try to get out with just the 4 and the 5. I'm going to take the speed of the 4, and if the pace falls apart, I think the 5 at a price of 6-1 could pick him up. So I think it's a tricky leg, tricky race, and a tricky leg here in the pick 4. So 4 or 5 for me. What do you like again?
Yeah, if I was playing the pick 4, this is probably the leg where I would go deep. I said 1, 3, 4, 5. Okay.
Yeah, it's a tough race, and the morning line there is going to be spread out between 3 or 4 runners. So it's going to be a competitive field there in race 3. Race number 4, the first 2-year-old event of the evening. You got a field of 8. The 9-race program, the pick 6 begins here in race number 4. Some of these babies have been very interesting to watch the workouts. We've seen a couple of races already in the season. I like the outside draw of the 8, Sage Franklin, but I think this might be one of the most competitive 2-year-olds we've had so far. We only had a few, but I think this is going to be evenly matched throughout top to bottom. I like the 8 because of the outside post. But I think the 4, the 5 there, Stevie Flash of Cash, Cecilia Monterosa, looks good there down the middle part of the track. I had a really tough time, really, who I wanted to give the check mark. But, I'll give the 8 the check mark just because of the outside draw. But I think the 5 there will be my close second choice. So, I like the way the stride of the 8 in the workout, 12:30 there. Third best of 50 in the morning. Oscar Prenado and Mike Robbins could stay hot.
Yeah, Sage Franklin got outworked by a nice horse in Getaway Car both times. But, I mean, 12-3 work was very good. Draws the outside here. This horse is a 3-quarter sibling to Paint Your Fate, who qualified in the $2 million last year.
Yep.
So definitely the breeding lines are there. I mean, we've already talked about Reliance Ranches. I mean, they only breed the best. So you got to be aware of that. I took the 4. I like my chances for Paul Jones. Mm-hmm. This horse looks like it's ready to win early. This horse has broke fast both times, and it's out of Corona Cartel and Fancy First Affair, who I believe won the La Primera here when she was running. And so this one definitely has those breeding lines. Again, Stevie B, Flash of Cash. There's another family of Los Al runners, yeah, and Stevie B, Birds Cash. So they're kind of all abound here, but, I mean, like you said, we have the 3 RD on Fire, who worked 12-3 as well, and you're getting 5-1 yes. on that. She came in some at the start and worked well with another horse named Jimbo Secret, who went 12-1. So, I mean, 12-3 is nothing to scoff at. If any of these runners have problems, she could definitely be right there. So, definitely all these horses have worked well. I think the odds reflect it. Annette Rodriguez even does well with first-time starters there. She's hitting at 33%. Her horse also worked 12-3. So, I mean, you could take your pick in here. If you don't like a horse, maybe first time outside, you like to play those angles. I mean, you could definitely go deep here and try and catch a little price.
Yeah, I think this is going to be a wide open betting field. The morning line reflects that. Just to tell you a quick rundown, field of 8, your morning line period is 3-1. That'll be the 5 CBB Flash of Cash. Sage Franklin 4-1. The 4, I like my chances at 7-2. And yes, I looked up Fancy's First Affair. Wanted to confirm that she won her first 4 outings. So she was off and running. She won her debut, came back to qualify to La Primera, won the La Primera, and then competed further down in the Golden State Derby, PCQH Derby Trials, and Super Derby Trials. So she never made a final other than that the La Primera. And she got the job done. She was trained by Joe Bassett. I want to say that was, back in 2007. So we're 11 years removed from her La Primera del Año Derby, and she won it as a betting favorite at 2-1.
Yeah, I want to say she had a longer career than that when you look back and you think. But, apparently she didn't race that much, and then she went on to the breeding shed. But she definitely made her money when she was running, and hopefully she can pass it on to her progeny here.
Yeah, so we'll see. You're going to see some nice breeding lines pop up. I'll give the check mark to the 8 Sage Franklin. But as far as my top 3 in order, 8, 5, 4, if you're looking to go deeper here in the pick 4s or play some exotics, 8x4 is my top three in order of preference. What do you like again?
I went same horses, just a different order. 4, 5, 8.
4, 5, 8. Correct. All right. But that's going to be the first baby race of the night there. Do we have another one? Or was that the only one? I think we have another
one. Yeah, we have one more.
We have one more. So that's going to complete the early pick four. And we're going to have the middle race right there, race number 5, before we begin the late pick four and race 6. But we have a moment. First episode, we talked a little bit about everything. You know, how we started and how we got to be working in the industry. But we talked a little bit about WrestleMania, The Undertaker. That's the only thing that I searched on Twitter. I wanted to follow up to see. I want to see his entrance, his comeback.
Yeah, they had a little psych out there. Yes. Cena was calling him out. Uh-huh. And then Elias Sampson came out, who I'm a big fan of, because he comes out with the guitar and he sings, but he's just a straight villain.
Insults
the crowd right to their face, but everybody eats it up.
Yeah.
So he came out, and everybody was expecting The Undertaker, of course, and they just ripped him to shreds. So Cena just pretty much manhandled him. And then Undertaker, the lights went out. Uh-huh. You hear the gongs.
Yeah.
And then you see his hat in the ring.
Yep.
Then the lights go out again. And then, boom, The Undertaker's at the top of the ramp now.
Yeah.
And then it was on from there.
I mean, what is he? He's like, what, 54, 53?
Yeah, he's got to be.
I mean,
yeah, he's got to be early 50s.
And he's still, like, jumping out there.
Oh, yeah. I mean, he climbed the top ropes as usual.
Yeah.
He did all his Undertaker things. And he pretty much had his way with Cena. So
it was good to get some nostalgia back. It's just not WrestleMania without Undertaker, right?
Yeah.
So got the job done. I think the match lasted about 2.5 minutes, if I remember correctly.
Yeah, it didn't take very long.
He was huffing and puffing. So they made it a quick draw. So that's a little recap for what we talked about last week. And the Ohtani show keeps going down in Anaheim. I thought he was going to cool off.
I saw him rip a triple the other day. They're like, oh, look at Ohtani showing off his
and
speed.
He cleared the bases. Cleared the bases.
Yeah. I mean, so far he's everything the Angels could ask him to be and more. You know, he's still just hitting the ball hard. He's got the speed. He's pitching well.
And what I hear, I heard like this interview that he wants to do more. Like he just wants
to
play.
What more can he do?
All right. Like he just wants to play. So, I mean,
yeah.
It's awesome. It's good. You know, I haven't been to Angel Stadium in a long, long time. I'm going to head out there and root for the rivals, at least for one night.
Yeah. I mean, he's definitely something special right now. I hope he keeps it up. I hope we have another Mike Trout on our hands. I mean, he's been phenomenal as well.
You know, Mike Trout, I still consider him the best baseball player in the league. But what did you make of Pujols? Pujols, when he came, there was so much hype when he came over, resigned with the Angels. He's looked kind of sluggish at times, uninterested to my eyes sometimes. But some people were actually, I searched, like, you know, I follow some Angel fans on Twitter, and they're like, Pujols looked good this year. Like, there's something good about him.
Yeah, whenever I've watched him, he's been hitting the ball hard. You know, I think that's kind of the stigma you get as you get older, especially with a huge contract. Like he got, you know, or Orlando, Professor G always says, you know, once you're 32, it's all downhill.
Cash out, right?
And he has been right most of the time.
How old is Pujols?
You know, I don't even know. I don't know how old he is.
Quick Google. We do this on the fly here on the Los Angeles podcast.
By the way, he runs. I mean, he looks like he's about 52.
But 38.
30, okay.
38.
But he's still smacking the ball hard.
Yes.
But as long as you have these up-and-coming guys mixed in with kind of the veterans to give them a little guidance. I mean, that's what you have them there for.
Did you know Alex Rodriguez was 42?
No, I did.
I did not know that.
He looks way better than Pujols.
And by the way, he filled in on Fox for the broadcast. I thought he was good. I thought he was really good. I thought he did a good job transitioning to the other side of the desk. You know, he's fun to listen to and analyze games.
Yeah, you know, having his past, you know, kind of with the PED scandals.
Yeah.
You know, he seemed to put that behind it, and everybody seems to like him as a broadcaster. I haven't heard anything negative about him.
How crazy is that Mike Trout is 26 years old? I mean, he's still so young.
Yeah.
It's crazy.
The only thing I think that you could knock Trout on, if anything, is his arm, which is still above average. So, I mean, he is just he hits the ball hard.
Yeah.
He runs like the wind.
He plays.
I mean,
yeah, he plays hard.
Yeah, he's hardly ever hurt. You know, he had a bit of an injury spell last year, but I mean, him and Ohtani, they're about as best as good as it comes right now. So the Angels are rolling.
And you know, we talked about A-Rod, and you know, I think he's always going to be associated with PEDs. But I just read this article that Mark McGwire said that, oh, I could have hit all the same home runs I hit without PEDs.
I saw that as well. I mean, there was a couple where he just hit like line shots right over right over the fence. Like I don't think those are really getting out.
No, they're just going straight.
Yeah, so they definitely help you. Yeah. I mean, you still have to have the hand eye coordination to hit the ball. Yeah, I understand that, but you know, anytime you're taking stuff like that, it's just not good. You better just stay away from it. But you know, everybody's always trying to have an edge and make some money.
Yeah, and my Dodgers are still in the rocky start. So we'll see. It's a long season. That'll be my excuse throughout. But they're currently in a series with the Diamondbacks, and the Diamondbacks seem to have their number. Like, there's always a tough matchup for the Dodgers, no matter who plays for the teams or whatever. It just seems that the Diamondbacks have the Dodgers' number. So the Dodgers currently sitting second to last in the West, right above Padres. Diamondbacks in first, Rockies in second. So Diamondbacks, Rockies, Giants, Dodgers, and Padres. That's the West. And in the American League, the Angels, right on top, 11-3 to start the season.
What I can say about the Dodgers is that they have an office that is committed to winning. Like they want to get that title.
Yes, they do.
They make moves, yeah. And they're not afraid to do it. So I can applaud them there.
Yeah, they spend the money, and we'll see. I think there's some finally there's some good young core that they brought in with Seager, Bellinger, and a few others there. I think they're heading in the right direction now. Instead of like the big free agent acquisitions, I think more and more teams are going through their own farm system. You know,
yeah.
Try to get the young ones and work them in. So I think this is gonna be a fun baseball season. But let's get back to the business at hand. Race number five at Los Alamitos, 300 yards, first quarter horse event of the night, field of eight. I gave the check mark to the six all-time high, who's 3-1 on the morning line. Crossed the finish line in front last time out, but shifted out there and had the key, was the cued to fifth. I just thought he was the best, much the best that night. And you know, I think he's gonna be tough right back. All time high, 3-1 on the morning line.
Yeah, he put up a really nice time, 15:55 mm-hmm. last time out. You know, had that troubled beginning, but anytime your horse gets disqualified for 8,000, and then they just say, okay, well, we're just gonna come right back for 12.5.
Yeah,
I mean, you gotta love that confidence. Yes. So he definitely looks dangerous here in the fifth race. I gave the check mark to One Spicy Eagle there on the outside.
Mm-hmm.
This is a horse I loved last year from the works.
Me and too. Like I had this horse running. I was like, this horse can make some noise.
Yeah.
But just never really was able to put some unlucky starts and was never really able to put it together, though.
Yeah, definitely. I thought he'd maybe get some checks there in the fraternities, but it never really panned out.
Mm-hmm.
So here he comes back in for 12.5. In the non-winners of two. Two outs ago, he won for 16 non-winners of two.
Mm-hmm.
So you know, he gets to drop back into an easier spot here. And I think as long as he can stay clear of any trouble and not veer out there on the outside, he should be pretty tough.
Yeah, and the field last time out of 16 claimers that One Spicy Eagle faced, that was a good field. Twisted Sifter, I think, has won maybe, I want to say, three in a row off the top of my head. And Warhawk has been a tough claimer as well. So One Spicy Eagle coming out of a good event. My second choice would probably be the three down for debate for Roman Figueroa, Ruben Lozano. They comes out of a good win. Actually, has won two consecutive outings, and that was a some nice horses behind this this gelding and Part Time Chick and Oak Ranch, who I think have improved their game. So I'll give some respect to the three down for debate at 5-1. If you're looking for a middle price.
Yeah, for some kind of price, I went for the four quite up. He's 5-1. He's dropping back into 12.5. After a win at the 12.5 level for non-winners of two, they raised him up to 20,000. And he just kind of got a little bit fractious there in the gate and, you know, pretty much wasted all his energy there at the start. But he drops back into an easier spot here. And with the cut in price, I think it could be a pretty good shot here. He was finishing pretty well, 2 and 3 outs back. So with a fair start, I think he can be a little bit of a price here.
Yeah, so that's going to be race number 5, 300-yard event. Race number 6, the other 2-year-old event of the night. That's going to be the start of the late pick 4. We've got some really nice workers in this field. We got Wicked Affair, who's going to be your even money. And 2-year-old filly by One Sweet Jess out of the Corona Cartel, Burt Cold. She stamped herself as talented right off the bat. First work was a bullet, 12:30, looked good. And then in the solo drill on the 27th of March, 12:10, strong through the wire, Ayala aboard Terry Knight, Legacy Ranch, Owens, and Brett's. If she breaks and she repeats that work, she might be long gone. You know, I think it's going to be a good race to follow. But I'll let you reveal your pick here first.
I was going to just go ahead and single the 3, Wicked Affair. I'm not going to try and go against her. On my notes, she didn't even break that well and just accelerated so quickly in both drills. The first time she outworked her workmate by about 4 lengths, and the second time, the 12-10 work, she worked solo. But like I said, I don't even think she came away well in both those works, and she just accelerated so nicely. Yeah, I'm not even going to – I'm just going to single, and hopefully I get a clean start. If I had to pick another one, I was going to go with Zerascape for Mike Ross. I'm just a Mike Ross.
Right, yeah. He's got some nice babies.
Yeah, like I said, your Reliance Ranches, they're coming to win. You know, if they're out here for the whole season, they want some money. The only thing I don't like is that he draws the rail first time. I'm sorry, she draws the rail first time. But, you know, it was whipped a few times and lugged in during the wire and just looked green. Mm-hmm. And so probably going to need one from along the rail.
Yeah.
I don't think she can contain Wicked Affair.
No, it's going to be Wicked Affair's race to lose if she gets out cleanly. I gave the second choice to Jess Wong, the 7 horse on the outside. 12:10 in that latest drill. I thought it was a nice ride there through the wire. Hydro Rangel up aboard for Jose Flores. But, yeah, I think the race goes through Wicked Affair. And from there, either Zerascape or Jess Wong is going to be the main threats. The ones that have been working well, has shown some ability. I think it's going to be a fun race to watch. If Wicked Affair can even improve a little bit off of that, we might be hyping this horse up a lot next week.
Yeah, I definitely think this is going to be one to watch. Burgard's been talking about it along with what's the other one for Paul Jones? Colt. Man 47, I think.
Yeah, 47 or 45, something like that, right?
Yeah, but he's pretty much pegged Wicked Affair as a future star in the making here, so I'm definitely looking forward to the debut.
Yeah, that's going to be race number 6. Race number 7, we got an allowance going 350 yards. 3-year-olds that have never won 2 races, and this is where I made my Los Ponies lock of the night, my best bet. I went to the 2 Fiery Colt. You know, it was kind of a few question mark efforts, specifically 2 starts back in the finals for the maiden stakes. You know, I love the way he looked qualifying. He was in a tight hold and posted a very nice time of 17:74. And I just thought he was going to run away in the finals from that outside post, but didn't get away to the best of spurts. And then didn't really show any energy down the track. Came back in the Derby trials. Broke out again and had no punch. Finished 8th there in that field. Now in the barn of Jesus Nunez from transferring from Lorenzo Capuzano. Alejandro Luna gets the mount tonight. With any kind of, if this horse repeats that effort from 3 starts back, I think they're running for 2nd. So I'm just banking that he still has that in him. And if he does, I think 72 is a juicy price.
You know, I'm shocked because my one horse actually beat a horse you love the first time out in Yankee.
Yes.
So I'm shocked that you went for the 2 over that one. I thought just for a nostalgia factor there, you would have went with the 1.
And I kind of – Caleb, labeled me as the Yankee finder.
Yeah.
Like, because I hyped Yankee before he even broke his maiden here. Like, I think I made him my Los Ponies lock of the night, like when he broke his maiden. But I think it was in this maiden race, and we're talking about the one Diamond's Blue Eye, that back in May of 2017, Yankee finished second, but he finished second by a length and a quarter in that event. But he was closing. That's when we really started to see that big leg kick that we know from Yankee. So, yeah, I'm just going to take a stand here and stick with my two. You're going with the one?
Okay, yeah, I was going with the one. This horse has had a lot of time off, been off since last September. And like we talked about, beat Yankee that first time out, and this horse was even hard to load. And then so second time he goes into a futurity trial and pretty much gets a little antsy there in the gate, and the veers in and loses all chances. I mean, you can't make mistakes against the Revenant, and he's our favorite. Effortless effort, horses like that. So, you know, E.G. High gives the horse a little time off and comes back. You know, I don't know which one is better. We're going to find out why they doubled enter here.
Yeah.
But I'm going to take my chances with the one.
Yeah, that's good. That's going to be a fun race. I think it's a very competitive allowance. It just adds to the mix of the pick four. You know, if there's some upsets in the baby race, you know, it's going to be tough to really find some coverage in some of these races because they're just so competitive. I could see even the four there coming off with that good second, making some noise behind Twisted Sifter, who's been very sharp. But, yeah, I think it's going to be a fun race. I'm all in on two. You'd like the one?
Yeah.
Anyone else you like in the second spot?
I gave the three a chance. I think there's some hidden ability there. As long as he can get away from the gate, finally get out of the starting blocks there, this horse definitely looks the part. I mean, he's a great-looking horse. Yeah, I can remember from the sale. But I don't really know if he has all the talent. Yeah, I think he's going to need some help. The horse is having a little bit of trouble here to his inside and outside. But I'm just going to throw him in, maybe catch a prize.
And that's going to be race number seven. Race number eight, the start of the late double. 330 yards is the distance. We got quarter horses going in an allowance. Fillies and mares, 3 year-olds and up, which have never won three races. I give the check mark to the four, tough to figure, coming off of that mini rock effort where this one was completely off slow, through the head, lost all chance. But if you go two starts back to that 10th of March 18th effort, this one looks strong there and pulled away nicely to post a time of 15:52. And she's just been a very nice filly at times. She's shown some talent. The key's going to be a start. But I think tough to figure with a clean start as the horse to beat.
I went to the outside, switched the style up for the new trainer here on the grounds, Nick Lowe. This horse has definitely been quick out of the gate, and I think those races over in Turf Paradise are a lot sneakier than people think. I don't think they give those horses enough credit. So he's definitely competitive over there, and as long as you're quick breaking here from the outside, you can be dangerous. I notice you gave, Lock of the Night to Niccolo horse?
Yes. Was it? Who was it?
It was a CC something.
Was it CC Boom Shakalaka?
Yeah, that was the horse.
Yes, I gave that. I think, yeah, that was my single to close the late double last Sunday?
Yeah.
Yeah, and that horse got the job done. And, you know, we've seen some of these horses ship in, so now Nick Lowe off to a fast start here for the season.
Yeah, Matt Fales came out firing from Arizona, and Nick Lowe has brought some horses out here. Yeah, I'm going to try and jump on the bandwagon early.
Well, you can get some prices, yeah.
And hopefully he's got a bunch of runners here and he's ready to fire.
Yeah, that's going to be race number eight. You know, the one still friends was posted a nice victory, two starts back, and then came back with a very good second behind Midori Sparkle. Young Alex Carrillo there. I think he's what, like 16 years old, if I remember?
He's definitely a young rider.
Yeah, and I think he's looked good in the saddle. And still friends gave him his first career victory, two starts back, and I think he looked good in the horse. And that one, the clean start from the rail, Mike may make some noise. But that's race number eight. I'm in the four, tough to figure. You like the six horse, switch the style up.
Yeah.
All right. And race number nine, the Wheatland Overnight Wheatland Handicap, 870 yards is the distance. And we got some nice quarter horse and thoroughbreds here stacking up. This is other than Miss Lujin, who would probably be the only horse missing from this field. This is as best as you can get for an 870 matchup here at Los Alamitos.
Yeah, they definitely compiled all the runners here. And the one usually, you know, when we run these stakes, it's usually bound to bet against, like you said, Miss Lugene or another good thoroughbred like Big Champion or Dream On Brother. But here, we finally got them all assembled here. It, you know, it's always fun having an 870 to cap the night off. And this is one of the most competitive I've seen in a long time.
In a long, long time, since because we were in karting 870s for a while in the last few years. Kind of really started last year. And now we're starting to see a lot of good quarter horses try the 870. And we're starting to see some good matchups. So this is going to be the Wheatland Handicap. $20,000 is the first. I went with the quarter horse. I gave down a bet to check mark here. Carlos Huerta. How about Carlos Huerta riding an 870 event? This is
going
to be fun.
You know it's important if Huerta's going around the turn.
Yeah.
I mean, hopefully he's done some extra stretching.
Yes.
Yeah. He gets a board here. Vinny Bednar. Obviously, he's hurt right now, recuperating. Mm-hmm. So Huerta gets the call here. Down to bet, definitely a tough quarter horse. The other one, Mike Capullo, is probably going to be the one that's going to go with him.
Yes.
I think you're getting a great morning line in 8-1 on Mike Capullo.
Mm-hmm.
I kind of like him because he's drawn to the inside of down
to bet. I agree.
I think that's going to be a huge advantage as down to bet, you know, really, I think, needs to clear and have an easy lead to hold on. Put up that great time of 44-43 last time. But I think if Mike Capullo can be there and stay with him, put the pressure on, bound to bet will wear down. I gave the check mark to Big Champion there on the outside. I think this horse, after the first time running 870, really found his stride and has gone sub-45, two in a row. And just taken off. I mean, he's shown the early speed you need to contend with the quarter horses here. He draws a nice outside post. That's going to be my pick.
Yeah, it's going to be a very tough field here. 5, 6, 7, and 8 are going to be the top four betting choices. But don't forget, just to mention, we just finished second to bound to bet. But how about you're going to get 6-1 morning line on Dream On Brother, a runner that it's 4-4-4 going 8-7 here at Los Lomitos. That told you how good this is going to be a betting race. And Nick Lowe, they claimed this one out last time out, and they're going to write back in into a stakes for a $20,000 purse. So this could be a quick turnaround. An investment if Dream On Brother is able to upset here.
Yeah, I was shocked that they put this horse in for a tag.
Yeah.
After, you know, winning three events where you couldn't be claimed, I figured they would just be sitting out waiting for these stakes races, but they dropped it in for eight. And, you know, Niccolo just goes ahead and picks up the pieces there.
Do you remember if it was a big shake for this one?
You know, I can't remember, actually. But, you know, I think he'll get a nice tracking trip. He's going to have to contend with Big Champion there to the outside. I think that's the only problem. But Dream On Brother is definitely a tough customer. I went 8-6 as my top two.
I went 7-8 here. The way I envisioned this race playing out, Michael Puyo is going to go from the inside, trying to take control of that inside position. Bound to bet is going to chase. Michael Puyo lugged out to start to go around the turn. If he lugs out and Bound to bet is right to his outside, that could set up a dream scenario for the thoroughbreds to stay on the inside and pick up the pieces. So it's going to be some interesting jockey tactics here in race number 9, the Wheatland Handicap.
Yeah, Mike Capullo, just really game horse, can go down all the way to the stretch. I mean, he's really, two outs ago, he battled all the way down to the wire with Dream On Brother, like you said, after lugging out. So, yeah, you even have horses like Mason B, who's one of the fastest thoroughbreds out here.
Yes.
You're getting 15-1 on that horse. Newport Coaster is another quarter horse we didn't even talk about.
Yeah.
But I don't really think has the early speed to go with Bound to Bet and Mike Capullo. But, I mean, there's definitely a lot of class in this field. And it'll be fun to see who comes out on top.
All right, that's going to be fun. I'm going to Bound to Bet. You're on Big Champion.
Yep.
It's going to be a great matchup here. That's the Saturday night program of Los Alamitos. Good rate, 9 race card. I think the late pick 4 is going to be terrific. Looking forward to it. That was fun. Anything
as always.
Anything for the after show? Have you seen in the news? Any topics you want to cover?
I mean, how about we pump the new happy hour?
Oh yes,
for Los Al. Yeah,
yeah, Professor G, he was like, the Los Ponies podcast. Why don't you share with the public that we've got a happy hour down at Rodney's Bar? So it's $2 hot dogs and $2 beers, and I believe it's Bud Light and Coors.
Yeah.
And
from four to six.
We actually went downstairs. Got ourselves some hot dogs, and there was a good crowd.
Yeah, we were waiting in line there, and I actually got the last hot dog. They were all out.
I jumped in front of you. I got two. You got one.
But no, definitely I applaud them for trying to shake things up down there. They don't really do a lot of deals on the food around here. So any effort put out towards that way is definitely commended.
Yeah, I was telling Professor G, do you remember back in the day you used to have like some big fat steak fries in the concessions in the back, second level? Because my sister came to the races. She hadn't been here in a while. She came back last week. She goes, what happened to the fat fries they used to have upstairs? I was like, they don't have any more. They went more boxy. But yeah, before they used to have some big fat fries. And she's like, yeah, I miss them. So
yeah, the only thing I can remember that's missing now, for that I used to love when they had the soft serve upstairs.
Yeah.
And you could get the swirl cone or the ice cream stand.
Yes.
But, you know, they're shaking things up.
Yeah,
there was a nice little crowd. They definitely paid attention.
Knock on wood for the ice cream soft serve to come back, right? All right, that's the show. Saturday night, Los Alamitos. Good 8-9 race program. Looking forward to it, and we'll be back next week.
All right, thank you very much.
See you guys later.
The podcast you just heard was recorded with Anchor. If you want to make your own, download the Android or iOS app completely free from anchor.fm/podcast. That's anchor.fm/podcast.